Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to deal with the Black Awakening Internet Core Session 14, Day of Activation. Lord bless you and strengthen you and keep you today. May the Spirit of God guide you and direct you in your pursuits of research, of ministry information, of God's providential working with you. Let's walk worthy of the Lord, the calling that we have. We read that in Ephesians 4. And for the Luciferians and others, again, may God show you His mercy, show you His grace, and transform your life before it's too eternally too late. Page 18 for everyone, Day of Activation. This is the Day of Activation, the Day of Doom, really. Now listen, it's not going to be as it'll be unparalleled in world history, yes. But it will not be as bad as in the middle of the tribulation when the wrath of Antichrist is unleashed. From that point on, including then God's attack on the beast kingdom, the wrath of God begins to fall. You're talking about then, you know, segments of the earth being burned up and, you know, segments of humanity being lost, maybe 2-3 billion will lose their lives in the shortest time, the most ever in history will lose their lives in the shortest amount of history. Jesus said their days are unequaled, unparalleled, never before, and never will it happen again. He talked about that again in Matthew 24. So studying out Matthew 23, 24, 25 is, and read it in context. But there are days in which horrific bloodshed. So, as I've always said, to the corresponding degree of the manifestation of demonic presence and the actual physical hands-on where Satan is actually in the world operating, to the degree that he has that kind of control, we also find a corresponding degree of human destruction, bloodshed. So in the middle of the tribulation, which, again, that's another course coming up concerning the rise of the Antichrist, Volume 2, as we call it, we find that there will be, one, an attempt to annihilate Christendom worldwide, and that there will eventually be an attempt to annihilate Israel. And again, we're going to see, based on Revelation 12, that Satan never does defeat or destroy Jesus. He never does defeat or destroy the church. And he never does defeat, destroy, or annihilate Israel. We find that Christ, Israel, and the church, indestructible. Christ is indestructible because that is, listen, that is the nature of God. God's attribute is indestructibility. And we praise God for that. The throne of God, the king that we love and serve, there is no danger. The danger is here where we live in a fallen and broken world where the enemy is, where the father of lies, who is a murderer and who was a murderer from the beginning. The slaughter began with his entrance and continues and will be unparalleled. So when we talk about the Black Awakening, and the term again comes from them, it comes from them, and we have what we call great evangelical awakenings, the first and second one out of England, United States, where hundreds of thousands, and even in great revival and awakenings, millions turn to Christ. Now, this is where God impacts an entire nation, and he impacts regions, and great advances in the kingdom of God is brought about, and this is tremendous. And we should all be praying for that and praying that way. Acts chapter 4, may I encourage you again to pray with the fervency and the obedience and the fiery zeal that our brothers and sisters did in that chapter. The Day of Activation simply is the day in which the Black Awakening is unleashed. Now listen, I've had people call, you know, write me, call me and so forth, ask me about Columbine and Paducah and obviously about VTech. And all those places where it seemed like people went crazy and shot others and killed and slaughtered, or the mall shootings, or the Baptist church that was in Texas where somebody walked in and began to shoot people with a 9mm. I will say to everybody, those are types on a very small scale. And yes, some of them can be test scenarios, especially the VTech. I don't know about the young man for sure. I have had no engagement with him or no profile, but how can a man so psychologically messed up and so forth and quiet and everything else become such a proficient assassin? I mean, absolutely proficient. 60, I think it was 60% was his kill rate, which is unheard of. So it's very possible that he had a level of sleeper assassin personality program in him. If not, it's very similar to that. But let me tell you this. The Black Awakening includes multinational engagements. It involves nations that all of a sudden will put their planes in the air, that alerts will go up, that missiles may be fired, that nations would be damaged. All of that is going to be because of what happens on the ground level when political leaders are assassinated across the board. Numerous people are shot. Explosions are going off everywhere. And literally panic and martial law and everything is simply going on. The day of activation for cult multiples, in all the conversation I had, is simply this. The day that they are unleashed to fulfill their assigned and programmed agenda, which primarily is creating as much chaos and anarchy as possible, assassinating and killing who they need to, both in as far as targets and randomly, for the sake of chaos, fear, and so forth. They are to blow up targets. They are to bring down electrical grids. They are to stop communications. Well, we've discussed this earlier as far as the effects of the Black Awakening. But the activation for that coming day, I guess what I'm trying to tell you at this early stage in this session is this. We have not seen the Black Awakening in any measure yet. So please understand that when the Black Awakening occurs, the Great Revolt, the Great Rebellion, the Great Chaos occurs, it's unmistakable. It's an event that is unmistakable, just as the rise or the apocalypse of Antichrist, that event will be unmistakable. So please understand, no one's going to say, is this it? Because, especially if you have it described. Now, when the hurricane was threatening and eventually hit New Orleans and all the stuff that was occurring and houses that were being lost and waters that were breaking in and people that were dying and floating in the water, people knew this was the hurricane. This is it. This is it. And so it's very important for you and I to know right now that when the Black Awakening really occurs, those who have an understanding biblically and historical occurrences, that this is that which the Scripture spoke about. This is that which the occultists have been planning for so long. The Antichrist will never just come to power out of political process. Something bigger and broader and wider that touches the world will have to initiated for him to be able to come and be the savior to the world, to bond. So the way I look at it, it's done the way rituals are done. It's done the way splitting, which is the chaotic, crazy stuff, the programming, which is putting the counter information and whatever else, the bonding. You know, to where all of a sudden the world's going to say, wow, you know, this guy saved us, we love him, and so forth. So the world's going to be bonded emotionally and eventually spiritually to the Antichrist. Because the day of the Black Awakening will bring such chaos that people are going to be screaming and crying to survive. Well, under point A, page 18, the occult streams, and we've discussed these before too. If you do any kind of internet studies or reading the books and so forth, and gosh, I don't know, I got probably 1,000 books on this material. I think there's a lot of good information out there, and there's a lot of good things we can find. I find Terry Mendelson's Occult Archives website one of the great websites that deal with really good factual information. But anyway, if you're doing it, again, you got to be careful on the web because there's a lot, they could come across, again, just shoddy stuff. You know, you got to look for really a concrete stuff that is verifiable, people that have integrity. You got to look for really good stuff and see where these occult streams. The occult streams are usually, you know, you look across the board and study the New Age. Again, I'm talking about the leaders of the New Age who believe in the coming of advanced beings. They believe in an age of Aquarius. They believe that somewhat there has to be a There has to be some kind of spiritual evolution that occurs, something that occurs, and sometimes that may mean a great, you know, chaos before this great, incredible age. It's part of Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cleansing the Earth idea so that a whole new evolution of humanity can come. And so when you think in terms of this, the New Age, David Spangler, if you look his material up, who believes that Lucifer is in all of us and believes in the invocation of Lucifer and so forth. So New Age doctrine teaches this stream of a new order coming. And that basically they will also, you'll find them talking about some kind of chaotic events will occur prior, because of the bursting out of that New Age. Now, in occultism, especially with Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine, and many of the really left-hand path writers, you're going to finally, you're going to really finally take a look, you know, at their materials and see that there is such, you know, if the demons communicated to them, ascended masters, demons communicated to them their agenda, well, then you're reading the agenda that they have. And the agenda is this. There's got to be some level of massive chaos. There's got to be a cleansing of Christianity if we don't comply. There's got to be a kind of leveling the board before a whole new spiritual age can come. Again, the Luciferian lie from Genesis 3 is that the offer is spiritual evolution, spiritual elitism, spiritual deification, but a evolutionary process, an emergence. Well, that's been going on for thousands of years. And even 2,000 years ago, the Gnostics, through the demons, again, communicating, were communicating the same promise. That there would be, again, initiation into occult streams like that. The promise is, again, spiritual evolution, which I've never found anybody in the Gnostics, New Age, blood cults, Nicolaitans, New Agers, even the Luciferians. Where have you seen anybody become God? The finite, the principle is this, that they're not getting in their heads. The finite cannot become the infinite. You have to be infinite to be infinite, because there's no starting point. There's no beginning. You don't emerge into infinity. Infinity has no beginning, no ending. Infinite is just what it says, absolutely infinite. And the finite cannot become that. There is an infinite difference. The finite is so small in comparison to the infinite. The great news is that the infinite God, the living God, is personal and relational, loves us, and came in human flesh. And we see the nature of God in Christ as he loved people, healed people. Mark chapter 1 shows us that. And we don't see this in the occult streams of Helena, of Alice Bailey, and many other writers like that. Even Eric von Däniken and Paul von Ward, writers now that are really, again, with that occultic stream coming from the ascended masters, advanced beings, whatever they want to call them, chariots of the gods, whatever they want to call them, you're going to find two streams. They've got to have this massive attack against Jesus and the Word of God. There's got to be this great elimination of that in order to bring about a whole new spiritual stream. So the idea of chaos in Novus Ordo Seclorum, or Ordo Ab Chao, that is chaos before the new order. A new order out of the chaos. The Masonic, if you read, I've got Albert Pike's big book here, and you can read right in there about the belief in Lucifer. He's the light bearer, and the idea that there's going to be chaos before a new world order, before a whole new, and that's the biblical, biblically, God has given us, you know, instruction, and he has shown us that this is the principle. A great massive revolt, chaos, anarchy, and then the emergence of a new world order. Well, the new world order is the emergence of the satanic empire to its unparalleled manifestation in all of history. Not Old Testament Babylon, not even the days of the Nephilim in the sense of a global attempt. This is now the counterfeit incarnation of Satan in humanity, genetically, bloodlined. And it will involve, again, as I've said, the greatest destruction of humanity. And without the intervention of Jesus, do you get this? Without the intervention of Jesus, no human flesh would be saved. Do you hear what we're saying? I hope Luciferians hear this. I hope those who are handlers and others hear this. I hope that you and I as believers really take to heart what Jesus, our Lord, says when he says that unless he cut those days short, no human flesh would remain. That there would be annihilation on the face of the earth. Because that is what Satan's nature is. There's an annihilation of his entire being. He is no longer the light bearer that he was. He's no longer that shining one that he was prior to the fall. He is literally, you know, he has desecrated himself, his entire makeup, genetic, DNA, whatever you want to call him, is altered forever. And everything he touches eventually is annihilated, eventually disintegrates and dies and so forth. And that's true of his nature. Well, that's true concerning this coming time. And the massive deception among New Age occultism and the Masonic Order. Now again, the Masonic Order has 50,000 temples. Can you imagine? There's only one denomination. The Southern Baptist Convention has somewhere close to 50,000 churches in the United States. There's no other denomination. That's the largest Protestant denomination in the entire United States and the world. Now, when you talk about the Catholics and so forth, think about, you know, we think Catholic churches, we think all that kind of stuff. Those are massive organizations. But when you start to think in terms of the Masonic Order having those kind of that many temples and what they're used for, if they are used for all kinds of, again, ritual and what is the ultimate agenda? What will those places become after the Black Awakening? I bet you they won't be attacked. I bet you those places will not be attacked in the Black Awakening. So the Masonic Order is massive, massive. Now another stream concerning chaos before the Odu Seclorum, the New World Order, is the Muslims. And when you begin to study, and again, I've got on my website an area, the Crescent and the Dragon. If you go there, you'll find a number of books, and you're going to find materials, and you may have already done your studies on this as far as the Quran teaching, what the imams are teaching, what the basic prophetic and spiritual agenda for the Mahdi, the 12th imam, the new world leader that they're looking for. When you get the descriptions of their new world leader, you have the same biblical descriptions of the Antichrist. When you hear the way in which they tell us that the Mahdi will not come to power unless there is massive bloodshed and destruction, and it's all aimed towards Jerusalem. And so when you begin to read their stuff, their own material, and what they're planning for, what the president of Iran is planning for and believes, that by creating, they want the war, they want the bloodshed, they want the devastation, they want the United States to engage. You understand? This is not about just our governments, you know, and secret governments and all that junk. People are missing the boat on that, friends. It's what's behind the scene. Can you look over the heads of people? Look behind the curtain. As Satan seeks to draw humanity into great bloodshed as a massive satanic ritual, opening massive gateways, opening the doors for his rise to power. So everything the Muslim spiritual stream tells us, every attribute you study concerning Allah, the Prince of Persia overseeing their side of the agenda. You know, Satan has them under his wing, the Luciferians, Europe, so forth, the Brotherhood in the United States, all under his wing. You know, that's the secret power of lawlessness. People can scream all day and come up with all kinds of theories against our president and governments and so forth. Well, yes, look over the heads. There is secret, you know, there. Look at the back of your dollar bill. Obviously, there's been a secret Luciferian agenda from the very beginning. That does not stop, hold back the fact that there's also a God's agenda. And God's, you know, again, the United States has put out more missionaries, more money for food for hungry, and has been a global reach of millions of salvations around the world. China, Russia, India, South America. So, you know, those who are just slamming the United States, you know, all I can say is I pray for the United States. I pray for great awakening, for revival. I pray against the evil and so forth. Because the United States is targeted by evil. That's why we do have trouble here in the United States. That's why things have changed here. Because of the rise, the real rise, and the biblical fulfillment of prophecy concerning the rise of demonic manifestation. And the confusion spiritually of counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit streams, spirituality, and so forth. Every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So don't just get caught up into the physical. Ephesians chapter 6 tells Christians, your warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's what's behind the scenes. And the armor of God is not because of political figures and leaders and so forth. It's because of what's behind the scenes. The big battle is spiritual. But you're going to find among the Muslims the same spiritual theme. And then ultimately among all Luciferians, real Luciferians, the ancient brotherhood, the black flame, the whole issue with the Aryan race, bloodlines, and so forth, that is where you're going to find the center of the Luciferian doctrine of humans need to reject Jehovah. And they need to embrace the light bearer, the new being, the shining one, and so forth. They need to embrace him because he's truly the one that was misunderstood and misused and wrongfully, dethroned. And he's coming back to power. And when he comes to power, he'll show the true nature, his true Luciferian nature. So anything you read in occult streams, you can read Gary Kaa's book, excellent book on the demonic roots of globalism. You can read numerous materials out there concerning the New Age among the Masons, among the Muslims. So you're seeing it come from every direction. If it's the demonic that is communicating to people in the New Age, occultism, Masonic, among the Muslims, New Luciferians, guess what's happening? The same spiritual teaching, the ultimate teachings are coming out the same. That there's going to be this massive, massive, massive war, bloodshed, whatever, third world war, chaos, whatever. And then leadership and a new world order as never before will come. And the promise among them is always this glorious, earthbound, you know, religion, earthbound rule, earth, everything's earth. Interesting, because in the Greek, in the book of Revelation, it constantly refers to those who take the mark as the earth dwellers, those who dwell on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, the earth dwellers, those who have believed in, let's save the earth as it is. Let's build a religion, you know. So what we're talking about is that Satan's becoming the savior of this world, the leader of this world, the God manifest in this world. He wants to become the king here because he knows prophecy. He knows Jesus is going, you know, is prophesied to come and be the king for 1,000 years, where there's peace for 1,000 years, where there's a healing of the nations for 1,000 years. And talk about spiritual evolution. Talk about spiritual dynamics. When the living God in Christ is ruling for 1,000 years on the face of the earth, listen, the lamb lays down, the lion, they beat their weapons into plowshares. You know, everything changes. This is what people really want, not the counterfeit and the lie. And that's what Satan is feeding in, feeding individuals. And he knows what to give individuals and to deceive people with. And so his desire to bring about a political and a military regime is primary. But behind all of it, there has to be a spiritual machine. the spiritual machine fuels the political, which literally endorses or builds the military enforcement and the control. So, or do ab chaos, the chaos that will bring about order, or the new order that will come out of the chaos. The Phoenix Rising is another symbol that is used even among chosen ones. Out of the ashes, a whole new empire will come, they say. Well, those are the occult streams, and you can study them and get details and see quotes from different writers among all of them, and you can see again where it's headed. So that's the occult side. Do your studies there. Remember Daniel in chapter 1, who was resolved not to be corrupted in any way, but he did learn all the literature and learning the Babylonians. God gave him understanding of all of it. He gave him understanding of all the occult streams. Listen, that was the most, as far as the localized area, right there in Iraq, Iran area, specifically Iraq, that's where the center of demonic manifestation. 56 temples, a massive, 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 massive demonic territorial presence, and corresponding earthbound temples and so forth. So that's why it was very hard for even an Old Testament believer to have any place. They had no place to worship other than going home and hiding in their house. And, Daniel would go home, open his windows, and pray and seek Yahweh, seek the God of heaven. And because of that, God had an entrance. God had a window in. And that's why they wanted to eliminate Daniel and eliminate prayer. That's why the whole spiritual, genre there in Babylon was to rid... to bring total elimination. Listen, they know that if they cannot get total elimination, they're in trouble. Obviously. And we see what happens because of the prayers of Daniel, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow either. We see that God had a way of getting into the worst of the worst. That's why I tell you and I should not be afraid to unleash all of the kingdom of God we can while we're living now. And you'll see in a coming session, an MP3 session, that the Black Awakening will spur on also, possibly, one of the greatest awakenings and spiritual revivals among Christendom worldwide than ever in the history. More people may get saved in from the point of the Black Awakening up to the middle of the tribulation on, more people may get saved than in maybe the history of the 2,000 years of Christianity. We may see 1 billion people come to Christ. I don't know. In a short period of time, I'm talking about, as far as short periods of time. We may see millions upon millions, because God's going to unleash, which I'll tell you about here in a couple sessions, He's going to unleash the two witnesses. And God's going to be amazing. And the lamb shall run circles around the dragon all the way through. So be courageous, Christian friend. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you again to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Find the verse. You do the discovery, okay? Find the verse that God speaks to you about being immovable and courageous, and the reasons why. Point B in this session is prophetic preemption. 2 Thessalonians 2 is the greatest panoramic view that the Spirit of God has given us concerning the strategic points of demonic manifestation. Now, there are two main events. Now, when you read chapter 2, it talks about concerning the parousia, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the arrival. This is referring to the gathering up of the saints. So the resurrection of believers, concerning the catching up of and resurrection of believers in Christ, that day will not occur until, take a look at the scriptures. That day, the parousia, will not occur until two great events, big events, happen first. And so the Spirit of God is outlining the sequence of events. The Lord Jesus, as far as the return and the resurrection and the catching up, those who are dead in Christ rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up in that twinkling of an eye, that flash will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Well, that great massive event, dear Christian, will not occur until two big satanic events occur. And this is what 2 Thessalonians is all about, to correct misinformation. Because you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he's saying, listen, you guys have become so unsettled and everything else, so shaky. literally, he's kind of rebuking, the Spirit of God is rebuking us, saying, you should not become so easily unsettled. You should be grounded in the Word of God. You should know the Word of God very well, Christian. Know it and stand on it and believe it, and not, you know, someone comes with prophecies and visions and things that are contrary to the Word of God, reject them. Use Deuteronomy chapter 13 as your grid. Anybody comes that comes with anything supernatural, I don't care if it's in a church building, if it's anything supernatural that contradicts the Word of God and leads people away from the personal relationship with God, is of the devil, needs to be rejected, needs to be thrown out, needs to be prayed against, needs to be exposed, etc. Amen? Because 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us about what's going to be occurring. Even back in Jesus telling us in Matthew 24 that if Satan, if the false prophets and false teachers and so forth, they'd like to deceive even the elect if that were possible. Obviously, there's going to be a deception with Israel. National Israel will sign a covenant with the Antichrist in the beginning for safety. But they're going to give allegiance to a liar, to a counterfeit Christ. And they will, you know, soon find out that they've been betrayed again, and finally come, you know, praised be to God that Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then eventually turn to Him, which again is a slap and slam into the face of the dragon, the Antichrist, who wanted to eventually annihilate Israel. Because again, Satan knows these prophecies. Satan knows there's going to be a massive turning of Israel to the living Christ. He knows about the witnesses coming. He knows about all that's coming. So a lot of his agenda is based on what God has already promised he's going to do. Satan sees these pinpoints, and obviously he has studied strategically the prophecies so that he can outrun them, so that he can do whatever he can to stop them. He's there to annihilate the recipients of prophecy. You and I need to understand that principle. Well, that's the panoramic view of 2 Thessalonians 2. That the parousia of the Lord, that day of being gathered together in the presence of the Lord, that will not occur until two events occur. And those two events are what? The great revolt and the apocalypse of the man of lawlessness. Now, again, I will say this very boldly. Many books that I have, a few hundred of them, most of those books may refer to that are basically newer, you know, English-speaking writers that have said, well, that's the falling away of the church. Look at the context. Doesn't say anything about the falling away of the church. Look at the context in 2 Thessalonians 2. Not one iota of the falling away of the church. Actually, this Greek word used there is used in Acts 21:21. In reference to the Old Testament, when, remember, Moses led out 1,500,000 or 1,800,000, you know, Israelis, Jews from Pharaoh's grip. And when Moses was gone to the mountain, meeting with God, getting the Ten Commandments, and guess what happened? Look what the people were in their hearts. Among that 1,800,000 were many thousands upon thousands who knew what it was to worship demons. And when it came down to it, there was a whole segment of them that revolted, that rebelled against God, against Moses, that overturned everything. A coup was enacted, physical, spiritual, so that when Moses showed back up, they had a golden calf already made. They were in orgy and in revelry, and they were in satanic revels. They were literally just dancing with the demons, and they had overturned the entire work of God that was being done, and rebelled directly against Moses, whom God was speaking through, and who was literally then being led to begin to write down the words of God for the people of God in covenant. So when you understand this term, it's about a massive revolt. The old Williams translation and other translations in the past have translated it revolt or great revolt. Many translations today translate it as rebellion. And that, my friend, is a better translation. It is about a satanic rebellion. It is about what Satan causes. It is part of his agenda. In this whole context of 2 Thessalonians 2, you have that the rise of the man of lawlessness, there it says, his coming, he has a parousia, his coming, his apocalypse. Look what it says in that chapter. Comes in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So you got to understand the sequence of the spiritual deception, that every evil thing that is coming is caused by Satan. That it's according to the work, energeis. This Greek word right there is the word for a supernatural operative working. Satan is working with a supernatural power, my friend, to create this counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, and every sort of evil, deceiving those who are perishing. Now, this also includes that he creates two things. The rebellion is created by him. The Greek word used there, if you take it back to its original use in Greek literature, and I've looked up, five or six Greek lexicons and Kittles and so forth, and Art and Gingrich and whatever, many others, that the primary use was in the polises of Greek concerning a political coup, a takeover, where one faction is plotting behind the scenes, and then all of a sudden, boom, they attack to overthrow the political, military, and so forth, and system, and to replace it with a new regime. So you know what it is? It's all about regime change. That phrase right there is all about regime change. It's a revolt that has everything to do with regime change. It absolutely was primarily used concerning a political revolt. Now, in Acts 21, when it gives a reference to the Old Testament, and even in the Septuagint, this exact same word is used in reference to the rebellion, the regime change that occurred when Moses went up to the mount to receive the words of God. And the regime change was to literally force the people, turn everything over, and reject, on the one hand, rejecting and eliminating the work of Yahweh, of God, and rejecting the person of God, Moses, and instead replacing it with the golden calf and demonic worship, and they immediately flowed right back into that. So it was all about regime change. The presence of the living God with the presence of demonic presence. The rule of the living God, the kingdom of God, with the rule of the demonic, in their day. And that's what it's all about here in 2 Thessalonians 2. So I want you to take a look at this as far as a deep study, to understand that the parousia of the Lord and our being gathered to Jesus, that day will not occur until, one, the great rebellion, the great revolt will occur first. Secondly, and on the heels of that, the apocalypse, that's the Greek word, meaning the unveiling, that which was hidden, something that was not disclosed, all of a sudden the cover is taken off and you see it. So Antichrist, who will already be on the face of the earth for, I don't know, 30 years, at least 30 years probably, if he's counterfeiting Jesus in every way, maybe he's going to be coming to power at 30. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be 50. I don't know. That there's nothing for sure about that, other than the conjecture that everything he does is in counterfeit to Christ, including signs, wonders, miracles, rivals, saving, transmuting, his order of salvation, so forth. All of that is counterfeit to the real. Well, this means that he and his regime has been plotting for 30 years or more prior, because I believe personally that the actual conception of the Antichrist in whoever that mother is probably bloodlined. And again, I'm going to give you speculation or my belief. I believe it's bloodlined all the way back to the Nephilim for the greatest sense of power, for the greatest sense. In my dealing with chosen ones and reading Aleister Crowley and other occultists and understanding their system, that they have been looking for how to bring a crossbreed again between demon and human and create a moon child. That's what, in the view of some chosen ones, they believe that they are like the Nephilim of old, if not a new form of Nephilim. Or, again, this is something to be prayed about, some of them are believing that deep down and in them is Nephilim blood, and that when the day of activation occurs, genetically, their whole structure changes, a morphing occurs, that they may even look different and whatever. I don't know about that part of it for sure, but I do know that they're created to be, you know, a super soldier, and that so many of these chosen ones that we've dealt with on the inside personalities, after we've broken demonic powers, seals, and so forth, and heard that information again and again and again, their information is, we are the troops of Antichrist. We are select and special and chosen to serve him. We are here to help, you know, unleash the great chaos, Black Awakening, to assassinate as many as, you know, have been assigned to us, to again, bring about the political, the economic, the military, law enforcement, to collapse the whole system, to murder and mayhem. And then, in the context of that, make room for the rise of the apocalypse of Antichrist. So before the Lord Jesus ever comes for his saints and returns in fulfillment of the prophecies and so forth, Revelation 19, before is going to be two big events, the Great Revolt, Black Awakening, and the apocalypse, the unveiling to the world and the rise to actual political, military, and event, and spiritual power. Those two events must occur, Christian. And if you're a believer today, it's going to occur, you know, if the Black Awakening is going to occur in 2 or 3 years from now, then you're going to be here probably to see both the Black Awakening and the Antichrist. Please understand that when the Antichrist is here, his opposition is the body of Christ in Israel. And the two witnesses that come on the face of the earth, one represents the church and one represents Israel. Well, we'll talk about that coming up. What I want to mention here too now is in this study of 2 Thessalonians 2, the issue concerning, you know, the arrival of that day. Because I've told you before, it'll be unmistakable. No, it'll be just as unmistakable as the hurricane that was forecast and told, and people were told to get ready, that struck New Orleans. It's, you know, afterwards, when people came around and looked at the devastation, they would say, "This is because of the earthquake or the hurricane. This is the result of the hurricane. We knew it was coming and it hit, and here's the results." So, when the aftermath of the Black Awakening, the buildings that are being put out that were on fire, the sabotage, the martial law, the new troops, bodies everywhere in the streets and places, people hiding out, the communications down. That'll all be, and all the smoke and all the rubble, and when all of that smoke begins to clear and we begin to see the picture, the Black Awakening, then we're going to look back and say, that is the Great Rebellion. That is the Satanic Great Rebellion. And without any to do, the Antichrist will come in. Matter of fact, he is the one that will stop the Black Awakening. That's why he's going to be looked at the Savior. If somebody could went down and when the hurricane was just striking, go down there and just literally stop the hurricane, it would have been a miracle. Look, this guy, look, they stopped the hurricane. They used harp to stop the, you know, hurricane, whatever. They would all of a sudden think that they're the Savior. Well, the Antichrist, who creates the mess, will also come in to make himself look like, so you can see how he's going to create a bonding of people to him to say, wow, look at this guy politically, militarily, spiritually, economically. Look at this diplomat. Look at this man of peace. Look how he stopped all this devastation. Look at this whole new world order agenda that he is going to offer to the world. And everybody's, you know, again, those without the Spirit of God who are already deceived, again, 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth, and so be saved. And because of that, a strong delusion will come that they might believe the lie, which is, again, Satan being, you know, claiming to be God in human flesh and God of the earth, and they're going to believe eventually that he's the superior being, the deity. Just as Romans believed in their day that the emperor was a deity, just as Masons believe that Lucifer is deity, just as New Agers believe that they're going to become deity, just as Muslim imams and others teach that the Mahdi will be basically like a deity. And so please understand that they're going to believe this. And why they're going to attack the church in Israel? Because they believe the lie. And then it goes on to say in 2 Thessalonians that, that again, God's judgment, those who've delighted in wickedness, that all will be condemned who delighted, who chose it and lived in it and loved it. And you see this in the book of Revelation. They wouldn't turn from their sorceries, their magic arts, their drugs, their sexual stuff, and all those things that's listed. They wouldn't repent, even when God gave them time, even in the last hours. And there's going to be like that on the thief on the cross. The one did turn to Jesus and the other didn't. One went to heaven, one went to hell. Very clearly, one was embraced by Christ and the other rejected him. And one is eternally, going to reign with Jesus, and the other will be eternally lost. Well, the day of activation, point C, some claim that it's dated. In other words, that built in deep down, just like an alarm clock, no differently, just the subject of an alarm clock. If you set your alarm clock and it's a good one and it rings at 7 o'clock in the morning to wake you up. Some believe that the idea of this black awakening is dated, that deep down in the darkest parts of personalities of chosen ones, deep down in there somewhere as a sleeper, and maybe encased with other sleepers, and again, programming and demons on top of that, and demonic seal and ritual to keep all of that down, and that that it's a specific date. Say if it was 2012. You know, this whole issue with the satanic Mayan, the idea of the Mayan prophecies and so forth. If that is an occult prophecy, that something massive is going to occur, you know, the demons may be plotting and planning around that date. It's, you know, that's a possibility. But again, because there are demonic prophecies out there, and demonic prophecies based on the agenda that Satan wants to get across. He's got an agenda. He's got a goal. And so they may have placed in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of intact chosen ones, satanic super soldiers. The date, let's just say it was all of this. Say, okay, it is 2012, that New Year's Day or New Year's Eve around the world when all the celebrations are going on. All of a sudden, boom, it all begins to occur. Specifically throughout Europe, the UK, Canada, United States, specifically. Now, that will be true in Russia. They've got them in Russia. China is not a big player in this yet. They've got a different agenda there. And the Muslims have a different agenda, though there'll probably be an unleashing. Because when you hear me talk about all this, you know, people want to know, what is the instrumentality, you know, of how the day of activation will occur? Can we stop it? No, we will not be able to stop it because biblically it's prophesied and we're not going to stop. Now, it's not that God did it. God's not making it occur. No, it's going to happen because God has given us a future look, a distinct, detailed future look, a strategic look, at what Satan actually does. Because why? He has human beings who believe, who are a part of his agenda. He has the doorway. He has the legal rights. And he will do it because of that. Now, that might occur based on dated triggering deep within them. If they've all been dated for 2012, that to be unleashed. Some of them might be 2012 February, 2012 May. So it may occur, some believe it might occur over a period of 2 or 3 months when hundreds of thousands will be released in the first month, hundreds of thousands will be released on a second wave, another hundred thousands of will be released on a third wave of these who will again create massive anarchy, chaos, bloodshed, assassinations, and bringing collapse and elimination. Literally opening the door, and I can't get this point across strong enough. The Black Awakening is a cultural ritual. Instead of a black mass or some kind of chaos magic ritual being done in some basement room of one local house or out in some woods, I personally believe across the nation, across Europe, I believe that prior to the rise, you're going to see a corresponding rise of satanic rituals and powers, and places will be found out because demons are needing to release powers into the air, in society, to release seduction, deception, and create a manifest, felt, operative presence. The ramping up, as I've been talking about, based on, again, 2 Thessalonians 2 and many other scriptures. Timothy chapter 4, 1 will tell you this too. The Spirit of God expressly, clearly, boldly says that in those latter days, demonic spirits will come and begin to show everything. So I want you to realize that the day of activation is triggered possibly by a dated code that is inside of them. Others might believe that it is a genetic thing on the inside, that that it may have something to do with a spiritual connection to the genetics that cause a shift on the inside. Because here's what a number of them told me, that inside, you know, they might have numerous personalities. Say they got, like in one case, 13 sleepers down in there. That when the activation occurs, those sleepers not only are woke up, the programming that is in each of them and the demons that are in each of them, I've been told that they all merge and come together, kind of integration. They all merge and come together. The programming in each part of the personalities down below are only pieces of the puzzle anyway. That's the reason for that is that if I somehow get to some of that programming and stop or get a little bit of information, that I won't get all of it. But on the day of activation, all of those personalities be called to come up, collectively come together. The information and programming will all be there. The major demonization empowerment would occur. And they'll know exactly where to go to pick up weapons, where to go, where to meet anybody, where to go and who to kill. They'll have pictures. They'll have their little file or pack. They'll have it all ready. It'll all be ready. They're going to go and do their stuff. Now, that may occur, again, through events that occur in the world, maybe some major events. Now, there was a lot of American military that was concerned when Osama bin Laden would release some tapes that he may have code words that Muslims here in the United States would hear that, and sleeper cells would then unleash, you know, bombs and anarchy here. So they've got the same concept. It's a demonic concept, my friends. The idea of sleeper cells for destruction. And the Muslims have it. They have this the same agenda being played out there that is with the real Luciferians that are broader and larger, and they at least feel they have a superior role than the Muslims, though they work with them on this issue, as did the Nazis back in the days of the wars. Some say that it'll be sounds that will go over the internet, go over the over airwaves, television. You know, sometimes you hear on a television, you hear the certain sound that comes on, test sounds or whatever, and or even the idea of, you know, how a dog whistle works. You know, you can go outside and blow a dog whistle. Human ears don't hear it, but the dog does. Now that's the idea behind triggering. That the inside, even right now, when I know multiples that when somebody calls and presses certain, you know, phone things or a microburst, something occurs, a phrase, whatever, sometimes it is a sound. Some say that they have a, you know, they hear a sound that's sent, you know, that only they can detect, that they've been triggered with. So if they can hear the sound but others can't, whatever it takes to trigger them, that's the issue. People have asked me again and again, well, how do they trigger, you know, a million, you know, maybe 2 million will be unleashed. I don't know. Maybe 2 million intact. I mean, that, think about that in the United States. All of a sudden, boom, in one day, and it'll last for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, that 2 or 3 million satanic super soldiers, highly trained, nothing will stop them but death. Nothing will stop them but them being, you know, being taken down. And I believe that's going to be part of what does happen. Some law enforcement will shoot them. Some military will shoot them. But they're also planning a sabotage among military and among law enforcement. So sounds may be used. Some talk about also the electromagnetic pulse weapon, or pulse, a microburst, and that could be done from the Cheyenne Mountain, that could be done from HAARP. Could HAARP, Nick Begich may be able to tell you more about that concerning HAARP and concerning the release of a burst or a communication that will trigger the sleeper personality and agendas deep within the chosen one. But let me tell you another thing, and I want you to hear this very clearly. I believe that if you look at all those things on a physical level, those are fine and dandy. But it may, and I tend to believe this more so, it may be a ritual release like Revelation 16. The activation may be completely and totally spiritual. Well, how is that, you say? Well, you can even check with multiples nowadays where covens can send a demon to trigger an inside demonized personality to come up and to leave and go come to the coven. That can happen. They can be triggered demonically like that. Now, the reason I'm telling you to at least take a look and study this very well, all of us should study this very well. Revelation 16, when you go down to the point where the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet triangulate in what is the mother of all rituals, they who become the source of all the demons anyway, they don't have to conjure demons because they're within them. They're loaded with demons. They're loaded with them all over them. If you think in terms of, just bees in a beehive. I mean, the idea that they're within. Now, notice what happens when John sees, God shows him the ritual release of demonic presence. He says, I see three demons going out that look like frogs. Who do they go to, my friends? See the assignment? They got clear, specific, targeted assignment. They go to the kings of the earth. Biblically, in that context of Revelation 16, the kings of the earth are those who have already given loyalty to the Antichrist, taken the mark, and worshiped the beast. There are already those, through that mark, have acquired demonic presence, ownership, and they've already come under the lie, and they already believe the Antichrist anyway, and the whole Luciferian scheme of things. Those demons go out to literally, look what it says, to gather them together. Gather them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 50, 60, 70 nations, the kings and leaders, political and military leaders, being literally gripped, activated, released, called on by these demons that go out to seduce them with miraculous workings, to bring them to choose to bring all their military, all of their people, all their soldiers out into the field of battle for the great day of God Almighty. It will become the largest military, the most advanced military, the most demonized military in all of human history. And it will take demonic presence coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet to activate that. So even if there is a sound, a pulse, whatever else it may be part of the triggering, it will not go without, and I'm telling you, I believe this with all of my heart, that the if you counselors and others will check in with your chosen ones and ask the cult loyal ones, and some of them will be shocked that you know this information. They'll be absolutely shocked that you know it. They may even become suspicious that you're one of them at first. But they'll know better. You don't have demons. You have the Spirit of God if you're a believer in Christ. You ask them. Ask them about all this information that you've been hearing. And I encourage you to write me and tell me what you're hearing. Tell me the responses, because they're going to probably be similar to the many, many responses we've seen over the years. And all of a sudden, they're going to be blown away and corroborate what is being, what you're hearing right now. So I encourage you as a brother in Christ to realize that this black awakening, this satanic chaos, will be unleashed based on a unleashing of demonic, assigned, targeted, focused powers. Powers will be released that will trigger the black awakening. Satanic powers are behind counterfeit signs and wonders. Satanic power is behind the birth, development, and eventual rise of the Antichrist. Satanic supernatural operative power will be unleashed to unleash and activate and the black awakening. That's why I've told you before that it will be like a massive, massive ritual. It will get more chaotic the closer we get to it. You may feel it in the air the closer we get to it. But again, it will be unmistakable, unparalleled of any kind of other event in history when it occurs. It'll be unparalleled in the UK, unparalleled in the European Union, and those Christians who hear me in the United States, it will be unparalleled here in the United States. We have a dark agenda that seeks the collapse of Western civilization, Christendom on an upper level, and Christendom on, in its purest form in the body of Christ. But the Lamb shall run circles around the dragon. The church will not be annihilated. The mission of God will not be annihilated, nor will Israel be annihilated. Many will die in the Black Awakening. And you'll hear me say in the next couple of MP3s about preparations and so forth. But again, I commend you to the presence of God, to the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Read. Screen, read. Ponder these things in the presence of God. You know what it says in Philippians chapter 3? You know, to think on these things. You know, even whatever you don't understand right now, live up to what you already obtained. But whatever you don't know, you know, the Lord will make it known. The Lord, you know, will speak to you. He'll help you with it. So just look over it, scripture, verse by verse. But by all means, get ready for some of the greatest engagement. You better get ready to go. I pray you're already doing it. Let's go hog wild in prayer and intercession and spiritual warfare against dark powers. Let's go, let's become like my old friend, my old youth pastor, fellow pastor friend would say, let's get like mad dogs and get out there and win everybody to Christ. Let's get some zeal. You ever read, listen, can I give you a verse and ask if you have, if you've been able to live this verse out? I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to look it up. It is Romans 12:11. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, the internet course Black Awakening, based on the coming book, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Jesus Christ is the King.